We continue in our series, this Lord's Day, through the fruit of the Spirit, and focusing our attention upon the fruit of faith or faithfulness. And so, let us again read from Galatians 5:22, and then we'll focus our attention upon Ephesians 5:24 as we turn our attention to faithfulness in the family. And we've looked at the faithfulness of husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And now we are looking at the fruit of faithfulness as it is borne out in the lives of wives by way of submission to their husbands as unto the Lord. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. When Nehemiah feared the attack of enemies against God's people, a means of defense that was best suited to protect the entire city of Jerusalem was instituted by Nehemiah. And it was simply this, that each one was responsible to protect, to guard his home. He was to build a wall immediately in front of his home and to protect his family, his home, from any attack. And in so doing, he would not only protect his family, but as everyone protected his own family, the whole city would therefore be protected as well. And you see, this is what the Lord calls each of us to do by way of our faithfulness, the fruit of faithfulness in the life of a Christian, as it's applied to our families, that we are to take our duty so seriously in bearing the fruit of faithfulness that we as husbands protect our families by loving our wives as Christ loved the church. And wives protect their families by way of submitting to their husbands as unto the Lord. And in so doing, once again, the entire holy city, the church, is preserved. This is a means that God uses to preserve His church by having families that are faithful, that are bearing the fruit of faithfulness in this way. This Lord's Day, let us press on in our understanding and application of the fruit of faithfulness as a duty of biblical submission that God calls and gives to a wives. As I noted, we have looked at the duty, responsibility of husbands to be loving leaders. That's what God has appointed husbands to be, as bearing that fruit of faithfulness. And we have already looked at one particular aspect of a wife's submission in a previous sermon. And now we come to one other aspect of this submission. And so the questions that we want to answer from our text in Ephesians 5:24 this Lord's Day are these. First of all, what is the example of biblical submission? And second, what is biblical submission? So the first question then, what is the example of biblical submission? Once again, our text in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24 gives us that biblical example. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, commands wives in Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And then in verse 23, the Apostle Paul gives the reason for this submission when he says, because the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. You see, there was the reason for submission on the part of a wife to her husband that God gives here is because God has made your husband the head or the leader within your home, according to Ephesians 5:23. Realize, therefore, dear ladies, that you cannot resist the leadership of your husband without resisting the leadership of Jesus Christ himself. You are to submit unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Whether he is as loving as he should be, whether he is as righteous as he should be, whether he is as wise as he should be, as long as he is lawfully your husband, he remains your leader and head by divine appointment. Only death or a lawful divorce may lawfully and effectually terminate that appointment, that divine appointment, and that headship. And as I've said in the previous sermon, I do believe, however, a woman may and certainly may flee persecution when that headship is used to abuse and to destroy the wife that he is called to love and to protect. The sixth commandment, and we noted the commandment of Jesus Christ to flee persecution, and the sixth commandment requires of us not only that we protect the lives of others, but we protect our own life. We have a duty to do so. The husband is not a self-appointed leader, nor is his leadership the result of some vote within the family and a majority said, yes, I want the husband to be the leader. No, it's not that way at all. It's God's divine appointment that he be the leader of the home and the family, as we've already learned and spent two sermons previously establishing. In fact, the Apostle Peter speaks to this issue when he calls Christian women, Christian wives, to submit even to the leadership of their unbelieving husbands. In 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, ye wives, be in submission or subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. If then submission to unbelieving husbands is required by the Lord, I submit to you how much more to believing husbands who seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, however falteringly they may do so. And we all do so falteringly as husbands. And yet, the Lord, still knowing that about us, calls wives to submit to their husbands. Remember the words of Dathan, Korah, and Abiram, who rebelled against the divinely appointed leadership of Moses and Aaron in Numbers 16:3. These were their words, trying to level the field, trying to say, you know, we're all leaders. God speaks to us all. God leads us all. Therefore, there shouldn't be leaders over Israel. These are the words they spoke to Moses and Aaron. Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And as an example to us in all succeeding generations, the Lord revealed his righteous anger against the insubordination and the rebellion of Korah and Dathan and Abiram by taking them and opening the earth and swallowing them alive. God despises insubordination and rebellion against lawful authority. For it is to rebel. It is to rebel against the authority of God himself. Samuel said to King Saul, who did not listen and follow the authority of God that had been given to him, the word and the will of God given to him in 1 Samuel 15:23, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." Pretty strong words. If we view witchcraft in a heinous and abominable manner, if we view idolatry and bowing down to worship idols this way, listen to the word of the Lord. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. That doesn't simply apply to the rebellion on the part of a wife. It also speaks to the rebellion on the part of a husband who rebels against the will of God, who rebels against the leaders of the church, who rebels against those set in authority over him, in any lawful authority over him. And so it applies to us all. It applies to children who rebel against their parents. This is a principle that God has established, but we are, in particular, applying it to the family at this point and within the home. The example of biblical submission given by the Apostle Paul to wives to emulate is that of the church to Christ himself. Paul says, "Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ," as the church is subject to Christ, "so let wives be to their own husbands in everything." It will no doubt be asked, how can this example of submission of church to Christ be followed inasmuch as Christ is perfect and sinless in his leadership, but my husband is weak and frail, faltering, sinful in his leadership? Well, first of all, we should recognize God knew that, and yet he said it. We're not surprising God at all, men, by our lack of leadership that we should have in following the example of Christ. Our sins and our leadership, that's not a surprise to the Lord. It's certainly wise. It shouldn't be a surprise to you as well that God knows what far more than you see about your husband. So it's not based upon the sinlessness, the perfection of a husband that God establishes this principle, this duty of faithfulness for wives to submit to their husbands. It's simply based upon God's divine appointment. God has divinely appointed that the husband be the leader of the home. And the wife is to acknowledge that and cheerfully and joyfully and willingly submit to that leadership. And it's to do so, I would suggest that submission without willingness, submission without cheerfulness, is not really biblical submission. I understand in various situations, we all have to work on the heart with regard to submission. I understand that. When we have employers or bosses that are very harsh, that never express their appreciation and thankfulness, it's very hard sometimes to be submissive to that person. But God calls us not only outwardly to submit, but to work on the fruit within our hearts. Because if it is only outward, it's always going to be a huge, great burden. It's going to be something you basically despise doing. But when we do it from the heart, as unto God Himself, realizing we are ultimately doing this unto Jesus Christ, that the heart is changed, it's warmed, and our submission becomes much more willing on our parts, cheerful on our parts. And that has a reciprocal relationship or effect upon the husband, who sees that cheerfulness as well. Therefore, a wife is not to wait until her husband reaches a certain level of sanctification in his life before she begins to submit to him as the church submits to Christ. God doesn't tell us to submit only when we are loved and respected, or only when we are asked nicely to do something. Just as the love of the husband is not based upon the loveliness of the wife, so the submission of the wife is not based upon the kindness of the husband, but is based upon her submission to Jesus Christ. It is based upon the lawfulness of the authority that God has invested the husband with. Wives, are you waiting and waiting and waiting for your husbands to become the loving, godly leader that God calls them to be before you submit to them? Dear women, the Lord does not call you to wait for your husband to obey Christ before you obey Christ. Submission to the Lord is always, always a present duty, not merely a future duty when such and such a circumstance happens in my husband's life or change in his life. Submission is a present duty. Right now, it's a present duty of the fruit of faithfulness to God, and not a duty contingent upon the obedience of your husband or anyone else. Such submission is never easy, but such submission is right, and such submission is the fruit of faithfulness. I doubt, dear women, that you would like to hear your children say they will submit to you when you first become the mother that you ought to be, or that God calls you to be. When submission is our duty before God, we must pray for the grace to submit cheerfully, even when those in authority are not the loving leaders that God calls them to be. In the previous sermon, we considered the question, how are wives to submit to their husbands in everything? In everything. When their husbands are capable of leading them into sin. And it was noted, you may recall, that biblical submission to lawful human authority, even in the home, is never absolute. Never absolute. The only submission that we owe to anyone that is absolute is the submission we owe to God. That's the only one that is absolute. As the Apostle Peter said before the Sanhedrin, we ought to obey God rather than men. In fact, when a wife submits to that which is unlawful, I submit she has entered into a conspiracy with her husband against the Lord to do what is evil. She's joined hands with her husband to do that which is wrong and contrary to the will of God, just as Ananias and Sapphira did in line, conspiring together, joining hands together to lie to the Holy Spirit in Acts 5. For example, if a wife's husband commands her to believe what is false, or to teach the children what is contrary to the Word of God, she must not submit. She cannot teach what is false. She cannot teach what is in error. She cannot submit to that unlawful command. Or if her husband commands her to lie for him, she cannot submit to an unlawful command like that. Or if her husband commands her to break the Sabbath, or commands her to agree with and to practice birth control, or commands her to break any of God's commandments, she cannot submit to that. Because first and foremost, her submission is to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, her submission must be under her husband as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. In other words, again, the Lord has that supreme authority. Our conscience cannot be submitted unto any human authority. Our conscience must always be submissive to the Lord our God alone. And only as lawful authority is the minister of God in representing God and in giving to us that which is lawful can we submit in that situation. I speak not only to wives in the home, but in any context by way, whether in the church or whether outside the church, in society, our submission of our conscience is to God alone. Moreover, biblical submission to lawful authority, even in the home, and this was also noted in a previous sermon, this is simply to reflect this principle. Biblical submission to lawful authority is always submission to that which is reasonable and not to that which is destructive to the wife. Even the Apostle Paul, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, having that revelation directly, immediately given to him from God, even such a one said with regard to authority or power, he says in 2 Corinthians 13:10, according to the power, that is the authority, which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Authority is not to be used for the destruction of those who are cared for, whom we are to lead, whom we are to love. Our authority is not given for their destruction, but for their edification. Therefore, even though a husband's command or decision may not strictly be forbidden in the Word of God, you won't find "thou shalt not" with regard to every particular command that the husband may utter. But there is, dear ones, no reason to submit to that which is absurd and unreasonable. If your husband commands you to lift one arm for 1 minute, stand on one leg for the next minute, and then sing a song, Is that a reasonable command? Is that for one's edification? Or is that absurd and unreasonable? There's no reason, no lawful reason to submit to that which is destructive. Destructive, not to the edification of a wife. What commands or actions have no tendency to edify in themselves are, in fact, destructive. However, ladies, be ever so careful, based on what I just said, be ever so careful that whatever decision your husband makes that you do not like, that you do not put that decision into this category of being absurd and unreasonable, and therefore one that you do not need to follow and submit to. Even if you do not think it is a very good reason or decision, if it is not absurd, if it is not unreasonable, if it is not unlawful and contrary to the will of God, submit. Submit to it. Only when it is clearly unlawful, not agreeable to Scripture, absurd or completely unreasonable, should you choose not to submit. Mr. Gouge, a faithful minister and member of the Westminster Assembly, in his book Domestical Duties, concisely summarizes the extent of submission required of a wife in these words. Subjection must be yielded to the husband as to Christ. Whence will follow two conclusions. One negative, which is this. The wife must yield no other subjection to her husband than what may stand with her subjection to Christ. The other affirmative, which is this. The wife must subject herself to her husband in that manner that she would or should subject herself to Christ. Thus, when in Ephesians 5:24 a wife's submission to her husband is said to be in everything, it cannot mean in every single word without exception that proceeds from his mouth, unless everything is qualified by everything that is agreeable to Scripture and is reasonable. Second question, and our second main point, is this. What is biblical submission? Again, in the previous sermon dealing with the faithfulness of a wife in biblical submission, you'll recall that I concluded by removing several false ideas often associated with biblical submission. For example, number one, biblical submission is not servitude or slavery. Number two, biblical submission does not imply any inferiority as to nature, essence, or being. Number three, biblical submission is not the mindless act of a wife who cannot think for herself. And fourthly, biblical submission is not an unqualified submission on the part of a wife to her husband. Having considered what biblical submission is not, let us now positively, in the remainder of the sermon, identify what biblical submission is. First of all, biblical submission within the home is a God-given grace that willingly and cheerfully acknowledges the husband to be the lawful, God-ordained leader of the home. Let's begin there. I begin at this point because the grace of God is absolutely necessary for a woman to practice biblical submission to her husband and is absolutely necessary for a husband in every other relationship where there is lawful authority over him to practice biblical submission as well. Like any other good work or gracious affection that God bestows and gives to His people, that should be manifested in the life of a Christian, biblical submission is not the basis or the ground of a wife's acceptance before God. It is not her submission that merits her salvation, but Christ's submission to His Father's will in everything, even to the point of suffering the full wrath of God for His people. That and that alone is that which merits our salvation. It is the work of Jesus Christ alone and His submission in all things to His Father that is the ground of our righteousness before God, our acceptance before God. Just as we read in Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Not by submission or any other work of righteousness are we justified before God. It is by means of the grace of God as well that the seed of biblical submission is sown into the heart of the child of God at regeneration. And that seed must be watered with the word and with prayer if it is to grow in our lives. Submission, dear ones, may be the way of life, but it is not the meritorious ground of life. That meritorious ground of life is Christ's righteousness and His submission alone, which is then imputed to us by faith alone. Ladies, you have no doubt noticed that submission is very easy as long as you and your husband agree. Agree concerning decisions, matters, things related to the children, goals, etc., etc. But let a decision go contrary to the direction that you think it should go, and then submission is not so easy. That is why it is impossible to speak of biblical submission apart from the work of God's Spirit and the fruit of faithfulness in the life of a Christian woman. It is not natural for a wife, or for that matter, for anyone else, to submit in cheerfulness, in peace, and in contentment. Our sinful nature is one of rebellion against lawful authority that God has established. Thus, apart from the free and powerful grace of God in Christ Jesus, in granting to you the desire to submit unto your husband, and apart from the Lord giving that to you and subduing that contrary work of the flesh, rebellion and stubbornness and obstinacy in your life, there will not be that fruit of joyful, cheerful, willing submission on the part of you or on the part of me or anyone else. However, I ask you, is biblical submission a good and desirable quality? in our lives? I think the answer is obvious. Of course it is. Of course biblical submission is good. Well, when I turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, and I read the following verse, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" I'm encouraged that if I struggle with biblical submission, the Lord says he will not withhold any good thing from me. If I seek him and beseech him, he will grant me that biblical submission. Because he promises to give us everything good. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. This grace of biblical submission may indeed be despised as worthless by the world around us. But I submit to you, it is of great value in the sight of God. And ought to be of great value in the sight of your husband as well. In fact, it makes a woman truly beautiful in God's sight, and ought to make a woman truly beautiful in the sight of her husband. Biblical submission. The second thing that biblical submission is, biblical submission is a matter of willing and cheerful obedience to all the lawful and reasonable commands of your husband. Not a begrudging, reluctant, or hesitant obedience and submission, but a sincere, willing, and even cheerful obedience to all lawful commands and reasonable commands that come from your husband. A godly and loving husband who understands how to lead his wife will only resort to an outright command when other forms of request and persuasion have been unsuccessful. For he knows the wisdom of the wisest man, the wisest mere man who ever lived, Solomon, as it's stated in Proverbs 15:1, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." But even if the husband should issue direct commands to his wife, and even if he does so harshly, sinfully harshly, and even if we could criticize many ways the way in which that husband issued that particular command, her duty before God is to look beyond the way in which the command was issued, and to look to God, whose authority stands behind her husband. And if not, if the husband does not yield a command that is lawful, that's one thing. If it is lawful and it is reasonable, even if it is disagreeable, the duty is clear. There's only one leader in the home. I certainly, as I said in previous sermons, believe that a husband and wife should be a team, should work together, should strive to come to the same decision about whatever it is. I think that the husband does not have to be involved in every decision that is made. He can delegate authority to his wife to make various decisions related to the home, to the house. They do not have to be passed by him necessarily. But he's responsible. Ultimately, he's responsible before God for the decisions that are made within the home. And the wife is called to respect that authority and to submit to that authority. Is that hard? Yes, absolutely it's hard. It requires, as I've said, it requires not mere determination, it requires the grace of God to obey willingly and cheerfully in such circumstances. And it is so much wiser for any of us in a situation where we are under the authority, lawful authority of another, it is so much wiser for us in such a situation to bite our tongues, for you, dear ladies, to bite your tongues when you would like to give your husband a piece of your mind. Let matters cool down and respectfully raise your concerns at a suitable time. Such is the obedience Christ calls a Christian wife to practice, according to Titus chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, where it speaks of the duty of older women to teach the younger women, and then it lists what the older women are to teach them. It says that they, that is the older women in the church, may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Why? That the word of God be not blasphemed. You see, when that does not happen, the word of God can be blasphemed. We can be certainly attacked even when we are standing faithfully for the truth, but let us not give cause and reason to others to attack the Lord Jesus Christ, to attack the Word of God because of our gross inconsistencies in our lives. Thus, how foreign and inconsistent with this truth is the wife who rails against her husband when the women are gathered together, or the wife that berates her husband over all his faults, or the wife that is like a dripping faucet that will have her way, one way or another, will have her way by nagging, by anger, by throwing things, by weeping, or by the wife who refuses to live within a budget that the husband has set for the family. When you honor your husband in word and deed, dear women, as your head, you honor God who placed him there. You're honoring God. Thus, dear ladies, just as you would teach your children, and I'm sure all the ladies who have children would agree with this, that you teach your children not to demonstrate a disrespect for your lawful authority by shouting at you, by speaking to you in a condescending manner, by weeping uncontrollably when they do not get their way, by nagging you continuously, harping and harping and not letting something go, by refusing to speak to you because they're upset, by carrying a chip on their shoulder, a grudge against you, by moping around as if the whole world had come to an end, or by slamming the door as they leave the room, I submit that all of you women would recognize you do not want your children doing any of those things by way of disrespecting that authority God has given to you. So likewise do unto others, namely your husband, as you would have others, namely your children, do unto you. It's amazing to me, in God's wise plan, how ordinarily, when a husband sincerely loves his wife as Christ loved the church, that love is far more likely to draw forth a response of cheerful submission from the wife. And vice versa, when a wife cheerfully submits to the leadership of her husband, that cheerful submission on her part draws forth from her husband an even greater expression of love for her, which compels a greater degree of submission on her part, which constrains even more love and affection on his part, and so forth and so forth. In an ever-continuing circle of blessing. As I close, I'd like to just apply these truths to our lives. First, wives, pray much for your husband and his role as leader. It's no easy job to lead and to love a wife as Christ leads and loves his church. Remember, wives, you are called to imitate an imperfect church, but he is called to imitate a perfect, sinless Jesus Christ. The burden is indeed great for any Christian husband who takes his duty seriously before God. Therefore, cover his weaknesses in love rather than exposing all his faults. Second, wives, do not lose heart that your meek and quiet spirit goes unnoticed or unappreciated by your husband. A wife who adorns herself with godly submission is indeed a beautiful creature and will more likely have a direct effect upon her husband than a wife that is loud and contentious, disrespectful, and is a dripping faucet. Even if nothing ever changes in the life of your husband, dear wife, you are of great price in the sight of God. Third, wives, focus more on your own growth in godly submission than upon your husband's growth in Christ-like love, just as the husbands should focus more on their own need to grow in Christ-like love and leadership than upon their wives' submission to them. You see, this is not an "if he loves me, then I will submit" proposition. You will give, I will give an account before the Lord on that final day of judgment as to your biblical submission, dear wives, as to my biblical submission in all those under whom I live and exist, especially before God, in submission to the authority of God. Fourth, you single women and young ladies, take care who you consent to marry in conjunction with your parents. For you will be called to submit to him as your head. You will establish by marriage a separate family. Whereas your father was your head previously, your husband becomes your head after marriage. That's why very often you hear the words, "Who gives this woman to be married to this man?" And why the father says, "I do." I give my permission because a new family is established. New head is established. Make sure you do not fall, therefore, into some emotional swoon in which you overlook some glaring faults. Take your time. How does he submit to the authority of God and others? You might look for young women. For those men who have learned by God's grace to submit to Christ and to others in their lives will most likely be able to lead their wives in by way of biblical submission. When a wife sees a husband is willing and cheerful to submit in those situations where he is under biblical authority, she'll recognize it's not only me as a woman, as a wife who is called to submit, but so is he. And I can, and we as husbands can pattern for them that biblical submission as well. Young women, young ladies, is he respectful to his own parents and to his elders? How does he treat women in general? Is he courteous? Is he gentle? Or is he harsh? Is he one who just thinks about himself? Does he love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength? Is he willing to lay down his life for Jesus Christ? Is he faithful? Does he have the fruit of faithfulness? And finally, dear ladies, remember, 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 remember that Christ does not call you to do something that he was unwilling to do himself. For a sinless Christ willingly submitted to even his own sinful parents, according to Luke 2:51. And he was willing to submit unto his Father in every detail of his life, even to the point of suffering the curse of the cross in order to save and redeem and rescue those who were chosen in Christ Jesus from the foundation, before the foundation of the world. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Joyful submission. Hard? Yes. Difficult? Absolutely. Without Christ, we can do nothing. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Christ is not only an example to the husband as to how he is to love his wife, but Christ is also an example to the wife as to how she is to submit to her husband, as he submitted to his Father in heaven. Remember, dear ones, submission. Submission is the way of life. Rebellion is the way of death and destruction. Let not the world feed you its poisonous lies to the effect that biblical submission is demeaning or belittling. Do not swallow that poison. To the contrary, biblical submission is actually the way to honor and exaltation, even as it was with Jesus Christ, the way to honor and exaltation in the sight of God. Let us stand together in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we come to Thee beseeching that Thou would grant to us the grace, an increase of grace, of biblical submission in our lives, all of us. And particularly I pray for our wives and our future wives. O Lord, that Thy Spirit would be poured mightily upon them, That, O Lord, they would see the beauty of biblical submission. That, O Lord, our God, Thou would work within them both the will and to do Thy good pleasure in this matter. We pray, Father, that they would understand that all are called to biblical submission in one respect or another. We're all called to biblical submission before Thee. We all therefore need Thy grace, for our nature is counter. Our sinful nature is counter to this. And there is a struggle within us, but help us, our Lord, to fight, to war against the world, the flesh, and the devil all the days of our life. We pray, our God, that we would see and understand that it is by way of Christ's submission that we have everlasting life. And therefore, cause us to love that submission which Christ has taught us in His own life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.